But in the studio, we have Jonathan Popoli in, and Jonathan is here to talk about stars. But first, he's a writing instructor at the University of Minnesota. He also had his master's in conservation biology, and you're big into Aikido, which yes. I know nothing about other than people have poses, and it's good both for your mind and your body. Mm-hmm. Jonathan, welcome to the Roadhouse.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me here today.
And also to your friend, Cynthia. Yes, who isn't mic'd here, but we sure appreciate her coming as well. Jonathan, you are coming to an area where you can really see stars at night. But looking at your background, and you've also been working on another thing that I'd noticed in reading information, is you're also working on a book about animal tracks.
That's right.
And
that's
with
the book I'm working on now.
A writing background and a master's in conservation biology, I could see you going to the animal track thing, but where did the constellations come into this?
You know, it wasn't where the project started out. Mm-hmm. It actually started out many years ago with an interest in writing about natural history, just finding ways to write things to help people connect to the natural world around them. As you said, my background is in conservation biology and ecology, and I had a dream many years ago. I thought it would be wonderful to write field guides. You know, I love field guides. I'm a field guide junkie. I have like more linear feet of field guide on my shelf than anything else. and I thought, well, writing field guides would just be ideal. But I'm not the kind of person who writes field guides. You know, Roger Torrey Peterson writes field guides. David Sibley writes field guides.
Like bird guides.
Yeah, You know, Jonathan Popoli reads field guides.
Okay.
That was just kind of the nature of things, the natural order of things. So I came up with an idea to create decks of playing cards that would have different natural history themes. I thought, well, I can't write field guides, but maybe I could do this. Mm-hmm. It was sort of an alternative idea. And the idea sat on my shelf for a long time, but then just a couple of years ago, I got interested in it again. I started working on it. And the problem I was running into in creating decks of playing cards that would have different pictures and things on them was that I can't draw very well. So it
that
seemed,
could get in the way.
Yeah,
too,
that was really the problem right there. I thought, it'd be great to do, but I can't draw very well. And somewhere along the line, I just had the thought, well, you know, maybe I could make a deck of playing cards that showed constellations on them. It was sort of a moment of rather extreme naivete. And my reasoning was, I might not be able to draw, but I can handle dots.
Yeah.
You know, like I could handle dots.
I do stick people.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, so I figure I could do constellations. All I needed to do was get really good information about what to draw, and I could draw pictures of constellations. And fortunately for me, I ran across some really good resources right away and found some great software that I was able to use to create some images. And I designed a deck of playing cards that showed constellations on them. Sent them off to a publisher. The first publisher I sent them to had no interest whatsoever. The second folks I sent it to were Adventure Publications, mm-hmm. Which are they're based down in Cambridge, Minnesota. They do lots of regional guides, lot of books specifically for Minnesota and the region. Mm-hmm. Birds of Minnesota, Fish of Minnesota, Trees of Minnesota. Great outfit.
I think we've had people from their organization on the Roadhouse Hill. One time,
I wouldn't be surprised. And they gave me a call and said they were interested. So I went up to meet with them, and the gentleman who runs Adventure Publications said to me that he liked the idea, but he wasn't sure he was sold on the idea of a deck of cards. And I wasn't quite sure what he was interested in, if not a deck of cards, because that was kind of the point. Uh-huh. But he said, would you write a field guide for us instead?
Just what you were intending to do in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't know if my jaw was hanging on the floor at the moment, but it was... So I said, sure. And that's how I got introduced to stargazing, was I got a contract to write a book about it. So I decided I had to learn something.
And that really started because you couldn't draw.
Yeah, it really did. It all came back to that. So I spent 2 years becoming a professional amateur astronomer.
Yeah. Now, how do you be a professional amateur? I mean, we had a thing earlier in the program about beautiful bulldogs, and this kind of, it's similar wording, except for describing a different thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, for 2 years, I went out stargazing every chance I got. I spent my days looking at star charts and reading about stars and constellations and learning about astronomy and sitting up on my roof at night with binoculars looking at the sky and using planetarium software during the day, and just a real immersion in the whole topic and learning as much as I could about it to write this book. And then also studying the mythology and the history of the constellations and the ancient Greek mythology, and it was absolutely delightful project.
I glanced through your book. I didn't have time to look through the whole book, but that's one thing that popped out at me, is that you have a whole page of the history of that particular constellation you're talking about and showing in your guide about the mythology, the history, the whole background of it. That had to be a lot of research.
It was a lot of fun. Uh-huh. It was really, I learned a lot of things that I never thought I was going to get into. The Greek mythology was part of it, just learning about those stories and learning mm-hmm. about the mythological connections with the constellations. And a lot of other little tidbits of history that showed up during all the research.
I'd like to go back to the deck of cards idea. Yeah. I know from college days that it was pretty effective for a lot of people to write notes on cards and then just go through them with just the important things as a way of learning.
Yeah.
Was that your thought process there, or was it another event that made you think about a deck of cards?
You know, it was partly that. I'll tell you, there was actually a particular moment that had me think about the deck of cards. It was in, I think it was 2003, when the United States got involved in the second Gulf War. There was a news story that I saw about the Army released a deck of playing cards called, it was like the Iraqi Most Wanted playing cards. And I just saw the story in the paper, and it was these cards that had the pictures of lots of different members of the Ba'ath Party and the other, you know, Iraqis, kind of like the official, it was kind of like the official deck of bad guys, I guess, is what it was. And, you know, I'm a nature guy. You know, I like getting out in the woods, and also, as you mentioned earlier, I'm into Aikido, which is a nonviolent martial art. It's about peace and reconciliation, things like this. So I had a couple of reactions to this deck of cards. It kind of unsettled me a little bit, because I think, you know, I'm always up for diplomatic solutions to things, and the fact that we're involved in wars bugs me a little bit. But at the same time, I recognized that it was a brilliant idea, because people play cards, and as you're just sitting there doing something recreational, to have these images going by and going by and going by and going by, people are going to learn these faces, whether they're trying to or not. They're just going to absorb them over time. And I got thinking, well, gosh, wouldn't it be a nice thing to create decks of playing cards that would do the same kind of thing, help people learn about stuff that was the stuff I was interested in, that was helping mm-hmm. people connect to nature more deeply, helping people learn about the world around them, helping them just learn to recognize things that are around them every day, but we don't always see. And one of my tracking teachers used to talk about this a lot. He talked about it as building what he calls search images. He says search image is kind of like this. You know how when you get a new car, all of a sudden you start noticing all of the other cars that are just the same as yours?
Yeah, you never even realized before.
Yeah, and they were always there, but mm-hmm. we didn't see them, because our brain wasn't patterned on that car. So I just replaced my car recently, and I got a little red Honda Civic. And now I see red Honda Civics all over the place. I don't remember the last time I saw a red Honda Civic until a couple months ago. But it's like all of a sudden, I think there are a lot more red Honda Civics in the Twin Cities than there used to be. Because my brain has gotten patterned on red Honda Civics. So the idea of the cards is the same kind of thing. If just by seeing these images again and again and again and again and again, your brain starts to pattern on the image and you start to see things that were always there but you never saw before. Mm-hmm. And so that was the whole idea behind the cards. And after I'd been designing the deck of cards, I started to have exactly that experience. I remember one particular night I had just gotten done with the prototype deck of cards playing a game of casino with my parents. And I walked out after having dinner with them and I looked up and I saw the constellation Gemini. And I'd never seen it in the sky before. You know, like I've been able to, oh, that's Gemini. That's it. But it was just right there. Because the image had gotten built into my own mind. Mm-hmm. I was just, all of a sudden, I started seeing them. And the more I worked with the cards, the more I just started to see the constellations in the sky. And I remember that particular day because I literally, the first thing that came to my mind was, oh my gosh, it actually works.
So, yeah, you just knew what to look for.
Yeah.
Before, it was just dots and brighter dots and, you know, they're up there, stars.
It's
now suddenly it's groups that you're looking for.
Exactly. And it's partly knowing what to look for, but just like the new car, it's not even conscious. Mm-hmm. It's just your brain knows what to look for. And so you experience seeing something that you never experienced seeing before. And your mind actually knows how to fill in the missing parts. So you automatically see the really faint stars that you might have overlooked before because your brain has the whole pattern already there. Mm-hmm. And
sort of like muscle memory, it's brain memory.
It is.
Same kind of thing.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing.
I know I have a college friend of mine who, when he comes up, he loves to sleep out on my deck because he can see the stars here.
Mm.
And at home, where there's a lot more light pollution, he really can't. Do you find yourself searching out those areas now so you can really see clear?
Well, I do. I really do enjoy, and I enjoy coming up here, and I love going up the trail, especially when we have a new moon. So we both have a full moon and a forecast for clouds the whole weekend this time, so maybe I'm out of luck this trip, but I've also, at the same time, I've been surprised that the more I get to know the night sky, the more stars I see in the city, because even though the light pollution is there, again, like I was sharing before, as my brain learns more and more what's supposed to be there, it fills in, and I'm able to see things that I just never saw before. I've been amazed at what I've been able to see even right in the middle of St. Paul. I live in the city of St. Paul, and I've just been amazed what I'm able to see sitting on my roof or going to the ball field down the block from my house. I always treasure the time I get up here. But I've been less and less disappointed with the skies and the cities the more I've gotten to know the night sky.
We're speaking with Jonathan Popoli, and Jonathan is talking about his new field guide, Night Sky. It's a field guide for the constellations. Jonathan, how confused would you be if you took a trip down to Argentina and you looked up at the sky?
Pretty confused. You know, first of all, there's a whole, you know, over a third of the sky that we just can't see from the Northern Hemisphere. You know, there's the book Night Sky is designed to focus on the northern constellations, the things that we can see from the United States, really from the central United States. And it talks about 64 different constellations in the book, but there are actually 88 total in the whole sky.
Really?
And so there are another 24 constellations that are just too far south for us to see from Minnesota.
Miss some of yours if you were down there.
Exactly. So if we went down there, if I was down in Argentina, wouldn't be able to see the Big Dipper, wouldn't be able to see the Little Dipper.
That's disappointing.
Wouldn't be
it's
able
the only
to see
ones I know.
Cassiopeia. you know, but at the same time, we'd be able to see some of these other Telescopum and the Southern Cross. And
which is famous, of course.
Yes, a number of other constellations that we can't see from here, and Carina, and several constellations. But the other part of it is that the ones that you can see, like Orion, sits right in the middle of the sky, and you can see it from almost anywhere on the planet. But when you go down to Argentina, it's upside down.
They shouldn't do that. Now, have you done any... it's obvious that you've just fallen in love with this.
Yes.
With the constellations in the sky and what you've been able to learn and in processing this book and sharing it with everybody else. But where you started from was animal tracks.
That's right.
And when I think of playing cards, your initial idea, and the number of tracks we'd be looking for here, I can just envision like one of those binders that you have for loose leaf that you can just flip over and look at these tracks as you're walking through the snow. How do you envision where you're going to go with the animal tracks?
I think we're going to do something very similar to what we did with Night Sky. We'll do a field guide. Adventure Publications' real specialty is doing regional field guides, local and regional field guides that are aimed at the beginning naturalist. And they do a great job with putting these together. So we're probably going to focus on either the upper Midwest or Great Lakes states and focus on the mammals found in this region and do a book. And we'll probably do, since the deck of cards for the Night Sky has worked out pretty well, we'll probably also do a deck of cards for the animal tracks.
Which would be pretty effective, I would think, because I think all of us are a little confused by, especially the smaller critters.
Oh, yeah.
What their track patterns are like. And
yeah.
Just to see that, as you mentioned, to get it worked into your head so that you know what you're looking for and it just reminds you to go back. Pretty effective.
Yeah, again, building up the search images is such a great way to do that. I do a lot of practicing drawing tracks. And it's a great, great way to get the search images into your head, into your brain. So whenever I find a really good set of tracks, I spend some time drawing it. And then when I see partial tracks, where I see just a half a track or a track in really hard ground where it's not a very clear impression, again, my brain is able to fill in the details that aren't as visible, and it makes it much easier to recognize. So we're hoping that the deck of cards will offer the same kind of thing.
Maybe you could help me with the tracks of the guy who goes and eats my ice cream at night. I don't know who that guy is, especially chocolate.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, it's 5-0.
Yes, I know it is. Happens a lot when you're sleeping, right?
It does. Yeah. Wake up in the morning next night. Where the heck's all the
ice cream? Gone.
Just gone, yeah.
I think those might be bunny slipper tracks.
I better start wearing those then.
Yeah.
Now, you also have among the interests that we've been hearing about, you have a big interest in Aikido. Can you describe that to folks out there? What the heck is Aikido?
Well, I'll just tell you what the word means. Mm-hmm. The Aikido is a Japanese word, and the I in Aikido means harmony. And the Do in Aikido means, literally it means path or way. Like, it's like a way of living your life. And so Aikido, and then the Ki I'll talk about in just a second. So Aikido is the way of living your life in harmony with ki. And ki is another Japanese word that doesn't have a really good direct translation, but basically ki is whatever the universe is made out of. Mm-hmm. It's just whatever, everything, you know, we have this whole universe around us and it's moving and changing and it's active all the time. And a lot of times we have the experience of moving through our lives in ways that get kind of bumpy, you know, like the universe is not really on our side. Or we're not really on the universe's side, or something like that.
My life is pretty smooth all the time. Go figure.
Yeah.
Well, I should come take classes from you.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Yeah. And so Aikido, the word means the way of living our life in harmony with the way the universe works.
Mm-hmm. And we've got about, a couple of minutes to talk about this particular topic. But you have started your own venture surrounded around Aikido.
That's right.
And maybe you could tell folks the name.
Yeah, it's I have a school down in the Twin Cities in St. Paul. It's called the Center for Mind-Body Oneness.
Which kind of explains going back to what Aikido is.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So the path leads you to connect both your mind and body in a way that works for you, like Zen-like?
Well, because it's a Japanese art, it's been influenced by Zen. So mm-hmm. there's a lot of influence from the Zen traditions in the philosophy. And the creator of Aikido, and the creator of the school that I teach, which is Ki Society, brings a very practical, modern, and in a lot of ways very scientific approach to how to learn this. So it's a lot about experiencing how we use our mind, how we use our attention, and finding when we use our mind in certain ways, things go really smoothly. When we use our mind in other ways, things are really rough and heavy and difficult. And just noticing how just changing our attention can make a really big difference in the experience we have of others. And then we practice all that through the practice of martial arts. So we practice having attackers and defenders, and we experience if someone comes at us with an attack and we move in a particular way and we don't try to fight them or resist the attack but receive it and welcome it in, we're able to move with it very harmoniously and find a soft, gentle solution without having to collide and fight. So that's the on-the-mat application of it are these martial techniques.
We've been speaking with Jonathan Popoli, and Jonathan has a new field guide out, Night Sky, and that's a guide to the constellations that we see right here in the Northern Hemisphere. Also, you didn't include the Southern, the 24?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it's the ones that we can see here. He's soon to come out with another guide for animal tracks, along with decks of cards for both, and busy with your adventure in Aikido. Check your favorite.
But check your favorite bookstore.
And they can order it.
And it's also available online, Amazon.com, and the big bookstores online all have it. And so they shouldn't have any difficulty tracking it down. They can also order it directly from the publisher, from Adventure Publications. We're here in Minnesota.
You know, Bob and I turned the lights out last week, and we saw two stars in here. I don't know if there's any constellation involved. No, Bob doesn't think so either. But I only know, Big Dipper, Little Dipper that you see. But I have friends that can point out all of these different constellations. It's pretty fascinating as we learn more about the world above us. So people can look forward to finding that your new guide and immersing in it. And Jonathan, we want to thank you and Cynthia for stopping in here to visit. But at any rate, thank you so much for popping in here and sharing your time and your book with us.
You're so welcome. Thank you for having me here. This has really been a lot of fun.
Jonathan Popoli, everybody.